then you fail the interview. Can you keep a secret? No, you fail the interview. I will never divulge your secret. Megaphone, please.
Sharing the little music hit there. And, I just have to say that in this entire mess that we seem to find ourselves in today, I mean, there was a word spoken earlier. There's another transmission coming your way. It's like it's almost 2 hours long. So you'll get this, you'll get the last hour, you'll get this hour, and you'll get that. So there's kind of a lot of audio material that will be up. But part of it, kind of the heart of it, is that during this period of time, and this is what we'll be talking with our guest, Govin, in just 1 second on, during this time, they will be going down, and they are, and you see them panicking and going crazy, and their whole thing is being exposed. And like I say, usually they'll throw a war to hide themselves, because they always want to hide themselves. All psychopaths want to hide themselves. But that the lambs of God, the people of God, the people on the way, the truth, and life, they will not only be witnesses, but be intact at this time. They will be, some of them, very successful during this time. At the oddest time, where people, you would think just the opposite would be true for everyone. Not so. There will be winners and losers. It just won't be predictable or what you might think. And so let me get Govinda to chime in here and see what his thoughts are on this situation. Welcome, Govinda of Sri Lanka. Welcome back.
Hey, what's up, Z? How you guys doing out there?
We're having, like in the words of another broadcaster, more fun than human beings should be allowed to have.
No, it's a good time. My gosh, it's a great time for the people of God.
It is. And that's, and a lot of stuff is coming clear right now that wasn't clear before. And that's help, as a help, not as a hindrance, but as a help to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, we're all in process and we're all on a path. And, the path has ups and downs and valleys and periods of stretching and difficulties. But, when you look back, if you've walked and you follow Jesus, you look back and you wouldn't trade any of it, because it all has been part and parcel of the process that he puts his people through to make them what he desires them to be, which is a reflection of him.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not without struggle. It's not without, you know, just amazingly horrific things, but we tend to slide through them, again, because of the power and the might, and because our Father loves us, and because of our faith in Jesus Christ, and that power that comes with that gets us through these difficult situations. And then, you know, you might say, well, I don't like having a difficult situation. I don't like going through these things. Why can't I just catch a break? And
actually, God allows for the difficult situations on purpose. Yeah. You know, this is something that, you know, it was something I wish somebody would have clued me in on this a long time ago, because actually God allows for the orchestration of our circumstances for them to be difficult, because it's through those trials, it's through those difficult periods of time that we get stretched, that we, if you're walking with Christ, that's, you need those times, you need that struggle, because that in and of itself is what is used to push us within into our relationship with Him, because the kingdom is within.
Yeah.
And you know, the worlders, they get stuck because everything that they base their life and their existence upon is without.
Right. And well, they are on their way to becoming, you know, having no conscience, and having, you know, they know about the evil they're involved in. And then they go home to their children and to their families, having done what they had to do, they think, to survive, and justifying it that way. And then, you know, the idea of going home to your family and having dinner at the dinner table with your wife and your children after out there, and then going to church with them, let's say, after being out there running and gunning for Satan, is, you wonder how they can do that with a clear conscience. Obviously they don't. I mean, that's the first part that goes, that gets destroyed, is one's ability to feel guilt. And if you can't feel guilt, you can't feel love either. So
it becomes a club, and people pat each other on the back, telling each other they're okay. And so, you know, they get a bunch of other people that are all kind of in the same boat, and they're all like, okay, I'm okay, you're okay. And the guy that they've got up there, you know, with the degrees on the walls and the rest of it, he tells them they're okay too. So they figure they've got, because of the numbers. But there's always something gnawing inside of them, and that there's something not right. And they know that gets really revealed when they're around a true child of God. Because when somebody's around one of the real ones, they realize the difference between where they are and where they should be and where they could be if they would follow Him.
Yeah, and you.
So that's one reason why they keep trying to put out the light.
But then they don't want it, because they don't want to go through what you go through. They don't want to go, you know, just using my example with the truck and all the things I had with that. They don't want to go playing Russian roulette with mechanics, wondering if someone's going to sabotage the vehicle. They don't. They want to know that's not going to happen. So that's another reason they hang in.
Yeah, but you know, that whole process of kind of hanging in and being part of that system, the problem with that is that they never attain life. They never attain a true life. You know, Jesus said, I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, in John 10. And that abundant life is a result of following Him. When you follow Him, you go through these difficulties, and these difficulties are what actually bring you through the breaking process necessary for life to spring forth in and through you.
Yeah.
So, you know, God puts all these examples in nature so that people can actually see them. I mean, the whole thing about a seed, you know, going to the ground, Jesus talked about that too. And you got to be broken for that seed, for life to spring forth from it. God allows for His people to be shattered into a thousand pieces and then made whole in Christ. And then the new life that comes out is Him.
Right. It's something that a lot of people don't want to do, because they feel like they're losing their own lives. And, you know, when they don't want to admit,
well, they are.
They don't want to
they
admit,
are.
Right. But they don't want to admit that it's about Him, not us. So therefore we have confidence, because He's God, that, well, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, I'm just going to throw myself into you and not think about it anymore. Of course, He loves that. Not the easiest thing to do, though. Because it's a real...
Well, and it's a trust factor, because that's the whole thing. When somebody followed Jesus, you know, it was they were trusting him. They were trusting that, you know, he was who he said he was, that he would do what he said he would do. And, you know, there's something that was interesting to me. I want to just think about, you know, Jesus walking around. Like, a lot of people would show up when he came to town. But, you know, to follow him, you'd have to leave everything that you knew and go out, and you're completely dependent on him. And, you know, so if you were going to travel with him, if you were going to truly walk with him and not just be an observer of what he did, you'd have to leave. You'd have to go. You'd have to basically, wherever it was that he would go, you'd have to go with him. And that was the initial test for people, you know, just that, will they leave what it is that they know and they're comfortable with?
Well, first I'll go bury my father and go to the funeral, then I'll follow you. No, let the dead bury the dead. Well, you know, sell everything you have, give it to the poor and follow me. And there are things like that. In other words, if you don't hate your mother and father, if you don't hate your life and your life unto death, if you don't hate the situation you're in, is what he really means. You cannot be my disciple. You have.
Yeah, basically what. Yeah, basically whatever it is that's blocking you, because you know each one of those things is whatever it is that's that first place in your life, that lordship in your life. You know, whether it be your family, whether it be your possessions, whether it be your career, whatever it may be. You know, the thing is that it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of placement. And, you know, Jesus, even with the rich young ruler, you know, what he told him was, hey, you know, first go sell everything, then come follow me. Basically, get rid of this block by your free will. Put that thing aside, you know, and then come follow me. Now you're in a place where you can actually do this. And, you know, he'll test us in that. He'll test us in whatever it is that we care about most in this life. It's a hard test because you come to an end of yourself in that. But if you trust him, he'll carry you through. If you don't trust him, that's where you stop.
Yep, and that's where the faith comes in, and that's why your site is called faithmix.com. How do you like that for a segue? Faithmix.com. If you want to hear Govinda and his amazing words and revelations and all, he has this site, faithmix.com, and we have a link on our site. You can go there, and there's a wealth of audios, information, all kinds of things to further your, you know, walk in faith. A lot of people that I know, they listen to here, they tune in to you, they read Brother Thomas, and they say, that's all I feel I need. And I'm like, well, what more do you want? I mean, that's a lot right there. And if you can find others, you know, we have others too. We've got, you know, Jim Riley on the economic front. We've got various other people that are obviously contributing to this. There's no easy way. I think I just have to keep saying this. There's no easy way, but it becomes easy, even though it's not easy, when you're broken and you don't care anymore that it's not easy, or you don't care anymore that they hate you, or you don't care anymore that you're that you have to be cautious and you can't just relax like the Satanists can. You know, it's sort of like God's looking for his people, his army, and in Gideon's army, they were 300 are chosen because they wouldn't just dunk their faces when they're thirsty into the water. They'll cup the water, bring it up to their lips, and keep their eyes on the perimeter at all times, knowing they are embattled, knowing there's a war on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you have to embrace it. You know, I you know, one thing I realized, and I realized this when God kind of put me in what was a difficult assignment at the time, and it was externally the situation was rough. But, you know, one thing that God showed me even in that time was that, you know, when the scripture that even came back to me at that time was even the whole Acts 16 situation where, you know, you've got Paul and Silas inside the jail, their backs are ripped open. You know, now I think about that one sometime. Here's Paul and Silas praying, you know, God, where should we go in Acts 15? And then they have the vision of the man of Macedonia, and they're like, they were convinced that God was sending him to this next place. And the next place that God sends them into, sure enough, in the very, very near future, they end up, you know, just totally broken physically, tossed into the worst possible place they could be in the city. And that was the perfect will of God for them. But in that situation, because of the fact that they were in connection with the Spirit of God and their life was not dictated by their external circumstances, because they were in that frame of spirit and mind and trust in God. That's when you can live in that peace, and that's when God's power flows through people to change the entire situation. Your enemy in that situation, the very person that ripped open your back a few hours ago, can become your brother a few hours later. You know, that's what happened with that jailer in that situation.
Yeah, depending on how you react. I mean, if you react like the world does, probably not. But if you react by singing and praying and giving glory to God, the jailer's going to look like, what the heck's going on here? What is this? These people have overcome all the horrors I'm doing to them. They've overcome them already. And so,
people watch our lives. You know, they watch how we go through the things that come our way, and they know for themselves the difference between the way that they would go through it in themselves and in their flesh and in their own abilities, and the way that we go through struggles in Christ, and how we have joy and how we have peace and how we are praising God in the midst of the things that we go through, and how they know that even something small, trivial, will throw them off completely. They fall down once, they can't get back up again. We get back up over and over and over again, stronger every time.
Yeah, and falling down is not necessarily the worst thing that can happen, or being set back. I've had, you know, things. It's really a kind of an internal mental thing where I can't get over this idea that people for no reason would want to murder an innocent one that's not, you know, but they would track them and then try to set them up in a trap to murder them. And, you know, and this is persecution 101, but why they would actually murder them if they didn't, not only did they not do any harm to them, but they were all about blessing them, and yet they would murder them. And I've been stuck, and I know what the Bible says. I mean, the Bible is like filled with, you know, the right responses to that. And also the persecuted church has many, many stories of, you know, the preacher down the street and the, you know, the infiltrators coming in, you know, burning down the church, killing everyone and the pastor and his family, and going on like that. I mean, there's plenty of examples. You can go, you know, to Voice of the Martyrs or anything else and read these examples over and over and over again of this kind of persecution, where they actually will kill someone, or even children, who meant them no harm.
Yeah, but Zeth, they're under orders. I mean, because they've given themselves over to the prince of the power of this air, of the air, of this world system, which is completely at enmity with the children of light and truth and God's people. And when they've given themselves over to that, basically they're under orders from that spiritual realm to do the things that they do. And so for themselves, I mean, they're slaves to the world. They're slaves to the demonic powers. And for them, if they're going to be part of that system, they do what they're told. So, I mean, there is a demonic hierarchy that is the enemy of the people of God that basically tells them what to do, and these guys don't have a choice in the matter.
Well,
their choice is...
Yeah, well, they get home, and then they have break bread with their children and their friends, and they even pray to their God, and they even pray for blessings and healings after doing the killing.
They get their momentary pops too out of all of that. But the problem for them is that they're dying even while they're still breathing. You know, they're withering even while they're still walking. And you know, this is you know what's amazing to me, Zeph, sometimes when I see these worlders, is how old they look when they're still young. You know, how quickly they just start withering even while they're still alive. I mean, all these plastic surgeries and face creams and all this stuff that they try to do to just try to look like there's no life in them. They're walking dead.
They become dead over time, and they get to the point when they get older where there really isn't anything left in there. There's no question of salvation, because there's nothing there to be saved at that point. And we've seen this over and over again, and it's a really sad thing. But it's as if they cross a threshold at some point in their life where the plug is just pulled and they die, but their physical life goes on. And many times these people become, you know, feeble or what we might call senile. But it's not that that's doing it. It's really the fact that there's it. That's just like a tape recording going round and round to make people convinced that that person's still there when they're really not. Because Satan always wants to act like and to make it like, well, my people live on, you know, a long lives where the lambs get cut short. But the Bible.
That's.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I mean, that's just, you know, it's, the devil is he's quite a cruel master. You know, the people that go in, the things that they think they're signing up for, when they actually see what it is that's on the other side, I mean, they have to sedate themselves. They have to do a bunch of different things just to try to keep themselves from actually having to face what it is that they've signed.
What do you think they're going to face? What do you think it is?
Well, on one side, it's an eternal reality of their choice. You know, see, this life is transitory. Every one of us is passing through here. We're only here for a very short window. And we go on into an eternity of the ramification of the choice that we've made, that God respects that free will choice that we make as well, to follow him or to not. And they get the eternal manifestation of that. So, you know, this is why, too, that which is within is what's real. So all these things that people do in amassing wealth and position and power and liposuctioning and all the stuff they're doing doesn't mean anything, because what's real is what's within, and that is what's revealed when this life is over. So they're going to face the revelation of that which is within with them. And either you've been made whole and one in Christ, and he's been made new man, that new person inside of you, ready and fit for that which is to come, or you haven't been. So, you know, that which they're going to face the truth. You know, everybody faces the truth. You know, big T, they face that truth when this life is done, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you even know about it or not, you're going to face that truth.
Every being will stand before God. Everyone
absolutely
will be giving an account before God. And, you know,
absolutely,
it's really very, very clear. There is no free path here. And the book of Daniel says the wicked are going to go on to lives of, you know, everlasting life of eternal shame. You know, eternal shame. Jesus just doesn't pull any punches. He says they're going to burn in hell. People don't know that about Jesus. He says they're going to hell. that he's the one that talks about hell so much. Everlasting.
Well, and it's a choice. It's a choice. You know, the thing, Zeph, that is sometimes like when I talk to people about stuff like this, I think people, you know, they have a really hard time holding on to this reality, but it's true. You choose it. People choose it. They choose where it is. Nobody is going to go anywhere by accident. Every place that people go is where they've chosen to go.
Mm-hmm. And so that standing before God in judgment, seeing it all played back, I think you did a talk about this recently on a huge video screen type of thing, you know, seeing all of it, all the things they think are in secret, all the things they think they got away with are going to be blasted out before everybody.
Oh, yes. Know this. Everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever said, all of it for your entire window of life here is going to be played back for the entire universe to see. Your entire life, all of it is there, open. Nobody's hiding from anything.
Okay, so if we have
it's just the blood of Christ, Z. It's just the blood of Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That is our pass. That's it. Because it is without the propitiation for our sin, without him having done that for us, all of us were doomed. And that's why somebody has to apply that and move with that and walk with him throughout, because that's the only way.
What do you think of people that they have interpreted the scripture in such a way that they say every being is going to be saved because what Jesus did on the cross, him being God, saves all people? no matter what you do or think or say, you're still saved because it's not your work, it's a work of God.
Well, I mean, that's not what Jesus said, but anyways. No, you know, Zeph, the thing is that people want to make, one of the things that people had a hard time with about Jesus was they wanted to make him into something that they wanted him to be. And they had a hard time with him basically being who he was. You know, they tried to force him to do certain things, force his hand to do miracles, force his hand to do, they wanted to make him a king really quick. You know, they wanted to quick, let's promote you really fast, Jesus. You just fed 5,000, make him a king. I mean, it's like they kept wanting to make Jesus something to fashion him into their own image, into their own likeness, and he won't ever do that for you. Mm-hmm. He won't ever do that for anybody. All the thing is that the way that it works is there is a kingdom, which is the dominion of a king. And you, if you are going to follow this king, you bow your knee in allegiance to that king, and you submit yourself to his lordship, his way, his rule on his terms. There is no other way. And so the Jesus that you serve is the original Jesus. And Seth, a great prayer for somebody to pray is, Lord, if I am missing it, if I am off base, if I am not seeing you in the way and the truth and the life that you are, please correct me. Please show me. Please reveal the truth to me, because I don't want to miss you. You know, that was a prayer my dad taught me to pray. It's a beautiful prayer, because the thing is that the heart is deceitfully wicked, and people can dilute themselves. They can create a Jesus in their own image, and they'll follow that, and then it's a very, very rude awakening. It's a very rude awakening when you get a Matthew 7 experience where he says, look, I don't know you. You know, I'm not consummated with you. You are one with something else. You're not one with me.
Yeah, I'm not in relation with you because we don't have a connection. And so if we don't have a connection, I don't know you. And if we ever did have a connection, you'd be connected. So we never did have a connection in the first place, because once you're saved, you're saved. So therefore, there is no connection. I never knew you. Yes, you prophesied in my name. You did healings in my name. You preached the word out of the scriptures accurately in my name. You did all these things that would make everyone think you're really with me, but you're not. But you're not.
And you know, the other thing too, Zeph, is that God has a way of working even in spite of people. You know, they're not necessarily working with him, but he is still accomplishing his purposes through people that even aren't on the right page with him. And this is one of those mysteries, where it took me a little while to what in the world? Because, you know, he's still accomplishing his purposes, even though these people sometimes are off base, out of step, they don't know him. But even in those situations, God is able to work something out and to meet people where they are, because he still knows the individual heart. He still knows the heart of somebody that wants to follow him, somebody that is seeking him, and God will find a way to get that message, to get that truth to somebody that wants him.
Yeah, I agree.
So he is no respecter of persons.
No, I agree, though, that if you really have a heart for God, you really desire of God, even if you start off in left field somewhere, he's going to find a way to guide you into what he wants you to be and think and perceive. Despite your limitation or your background or your prejudices or anything you may have, or your idea of God even, you know, despite those things, he'll still bring you into truth. And then once we get into truth, what I've noticed is it's not like you can immediately say it. In other words, I'm in concert with God. I've been brought into the Spirit of God. I've been brought into the Shekinah. I've been brought into the glory. I've been brought into this mystery. All I can say about it is it's a mystery. I don't know that that very intimate part where it's you and him and there you are, I can't really describe it. The Bible says, okay, we're in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91. It'll say in Matthew 13, it'll say that, I don't reveal to everyone the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who can receive it. You know, I'm just paraphrasing, but to those who can receive it, to those who have, I will give more. To those who don't have, what little they have, I'll take away. because I am no respecter of persons. But once you get there, like when Paul was coming into the third heaven, he says, I really can't describe it. I just, you know, it's just like it gets to be, you know, I'm willing to lay my life down for the thing because it's so great. But I can't really put it into words. Once you get beyond the veil of this existence, it's something so wonderful, so awesome, so tailored to our need that we can't fulfill here. And so much what we're yearning for. But to describe it to the world, that particular intimate thing, not possible. I don't know.
No, Zeph, they would never get it anyways. They would never understand it anyways. See, this is the thing, is the natural mind can't grasp the things of God. I mean, any more than, say, you go see a beautiful sunset. Well, let somebody try to write and to describe that beautiful sunset. But say somebody sees this natural experience. Even the best author that this world has ever seen and ever known, to be able to describe that experience of just seeing that sunset, his words would never do that justice. How much more the things of God?
Well, it's worth contending for, because one will never know any of this unless they actually make an effort. And so this idea, this idea that there's no effort involved, you know, God does require something, and that is, you know, a heart for him, a real a love for him, a yearning for him that is genuine and honest and within a person. And a person that's just faking it, I guess you can fake it for other humans and they'll say, oh, you're really a person of God. But and they may even be motivated by having a congregation, having people follow them, having people listen to them or whatever. But it doesn't really become even ministry until one is brought into this secret place, this special sanctuary of God that exists nowhere on earth. And once you've seen that and been there, you tend to stay with him because nothing on earth can even compare to it. So
absolutely. And Zeph, you know, one other thing too is that even in this process, what happens is when somebody's come into that place, then God will speak to you through all kinds of things. I mean, so then you'll read something, and the words that you read will have his life laced into them, because he will speak to you through them. So when you read the words just jump off the page at you, and they minister to exactly where you're at. You will see a tree, and the wind blowing through the trees, and God will speak to you out of that. In everything that's going on around you, it'll become part of your experience, where you live in I am right now, this day, this moment. You know, God is calling his people to be in step with him right now.
Yeah, and that's something that we try to tell the world. We don't do that enough, I think, explaining that there is a goal there. There is something to be attained that is not of this world, that feeds us directly, that we need, only he can provide. And things can't provide, and power can't provide, and money can't provide. It's just something he provides. And that thing, that manna in the wilderness, that thing that sustains us, is available to anyone should they have any desire to get beyond what this life shows us, which is largely an illusion, because like you said, it's always transitory, therefore it's illusory, because you can't say in a moment, the moment I am saying now, it's not the same as the moment we just had a minute ago. You know, so therefore it's not solid. It's always changing, morphing, and, you know, and we are fading in terms of how much time we have to kind of get this right. But why do you think, I mean, what do you think about the world right now, the chaos we see coming into the world, and what does that mean in terms of, are people beginning to ask the questions, or what do you think is happening out in the world today with all the stresses and strains and economic nightmares and so forth?
Well, you know, I think if things had continued on the same path that they were, a lot of people would have never asked the questions that are necessary. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think the things that are going on is, you know, there's a silver lining. This is God's grace, because, you know, and it's going to take, you know, things going down for people to actually wake up and call on him and for them to come back up. So, you know, it's, I know with some of the difficult times, it's, you know, people don't want to struggle. They don't want to go through, but you know, the fire comes. I mean, scriptures is very, very clear about this, that the fire comes and it tests the quality of everyone's work and what they've built with. And, you know, when it comes to a person's life, when they go through that, you know, if they haven't walked with him in this, then what they've built is gets burned up. You know, as if God gave a lot of people, you know, the many are called, the chosen are few. God called a lot of people and he gave them a call, and, you know, and he was willing to lead them and to instruct them through this life. And when people turned away from his instruction, when they turned away from his voice, from his leading, what they ended up doing to themselves was trying to build their own house on the sand. And so what they're going to face is loss. They're going to face a difficult time. They're going to face a season that is going to be very hard. But in the midst of that too, he's also merciful. And, you know, for those that will call on him, for those that will reach out to him, you know, hey, you know, he loves his creation. He loves his people. He doesn't, you know, you remember when Jesus was rejected by that town and James and John, and they wanted to call down fire.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Jesus, you know, he said, he rebuked them. He said, you know, you don't know the spirit that you're coming from right now. He's like, you know, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But still, in the midst of all of that, you know, the time came in 70 AD where Jerusalem was torn down. You know, there is that difficult time that does come when you reject the King of Kings. You know, what do you expect when you reject salvation, when you reject the Savior of your souls? What else do you expect? I mean, that's the thing that it's amazing to me that when here it is, you're in this ocean. The waves are just, they're crashing around you. Somebody throws you a lifeline, throws you a life buoy, and you reject it. You push it away from you. What else do you expect but to drown?
Yeah, well,
it shouldn't be a surprise.
No, but it is a surprise to them because they feel that man can take care of himself, and they have a loose idea that God's taking care of them, and a loose idea that, you know, despite the fact that they're on and made a decision for Satan's side to conform to the world system, to be a part of that, that somehow they're also being taken care of. And clearly now what we see in the news shows the opposite. And again, I've got to go back to Mayor Bloomberg and New York and this whole idea that, you know, prayer is banned from the 9/11 memorial. So we're compounding a lie with a lie again. And here's Bloomberg. He's out there saying there will be riots if the economic situation, you know, promising riots in the streets. And I want to add to that, not only, Mr. Mayor, will there be riots, but there'll be nobody to rebuild what they break. New York in shambles.
Yeah.
And you've basically cursed New York. He's cursed it. He's brought this fire upon. What would he expect? And, you know, and a lot of times you know, but
the thing is, Zeph, is that nobody can stop us from praying. You know, nobody can stop us from going within. Man can mandate whatever he wants, but you can get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all of the people around them bowing down to the idol that the king sets up. But God, the people of God, they were clear with Nebuchadnezzar. They said, we don't need to be careful in answering you in this matter, O king. They said, as far as, you know, this thing goes, you know, we're never going to bow. You can toss us wherever you want. You can do whatever you want to us. But in this situation, as it pertains to who it is that I ultimately serve, where my allegiances lie, you can mandate it. You can make a law. You can pass whatever you want. But I'm still serving the King of Kings. I'm still bowing my knee before the Lord of Lords. I don't care about that.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, in those situations, you know, these situations right now, you know, they just heap it upon themselves. They just heap one more judgment upon themselves. That's their choice. That's their free will decision. As for us, as for me and my house, you know, we will serve the Lord.
Right.
And that's the choice that we can go through in all of these situations. And
but
God
leaders,
will respect that in his people in those nations.
Leaders should not be mandating no God. You know, I mean, if they're smart,
right.
You know, they should not
No, you know, Well, you know, this, Zeph, too, is one thing that's interesting, is that the world leaders that have something going on still in their head, they still pick up on what Pharaoh picked up with Joseph, which was, you know, in order to survive a difficult time coming on the nation, I need Joseph in place. And he realized that. Mm-hmm. And he put those people in those positions. And they did not disrespect the King of Kings. They realized, you know, Nebuchadnezzar realized, you know, these were that who was in control. You know, when the words were coming off of his lips, yeah. You know, that he was like, oh, look at the kingdom that I set up for myself. Literally 1 year from the day that the dream and the vision had come to him and Daniel interpreted it, from the moment that those words left his lips, yeah. You know, God gave him the mind of an animal and put him in, it put everything back in perspective. So he was the big shot of the day, and God has a way of humbling these people and bringing it back into perspective.
Okay.
So,
you know,
whatever people will mandate, whatever people will say, whatever laws will be passed for us, for God's children, we serve a higher authority. We serve somebody that we ultimately, you know, if we can live at peace with people, if we can, we try. But when it comes down to the crunch, there is a dividing line. And for us, you know, there is a point that where we do not cross, and nobody can ask us to cross that. They can try, but we will not bow, ever. And see, Zeph, the fact that there are people, even in the nation of America, that have not bowed their knee.
There are.
Are walking with the King of Kings. That is a saving grace for that nation. That is the reason Amen. Why I have hope for what's going to happen in America in the days to come.
Okay, I like that. I like what you're saying. I think people out there, this is Govinda from Sri Lanka, so you know, and we're coming at you live on, and I haven't even announced the caller, WWCR 13845 megahertz on your dial, and you can also get the podcast at zephdaniel.com, zephdaniel.podbean.com. Or zedja.com, or any, you know, Google it or whatever. And, you know, this podcast will be up on top. You'll be able to download it. I would listen to it a few times because there is great hope here, and there is a great excitement here. And that excitement is something that when we're talking about all these dark things and all these horrific things that are going on in the world today, and we're talking about revealing things that have been kept in secret, and we're talking about psychopaths and what they do, and the people of God are being brought up with discernment on that, it's really nice to have in contrast to it, or in addition to it, all this hope and all this euphoric excitement in the kingdom of the Lord, which is within us right now, and we can go there, and to have this steady, sure strength. If your mother and father forsake you, I, the Lord, will not forsake you. If the world has made you sad, I will not make you sad. If the world has abandoned you, I will never abandon you. You're never alone. None of you are alone out there. And so you know, it's always good to mix in, you know, it is horrific. And Govinda, you know, it's very much, one more thing, to get to Govinda's site, it's faithmix, FAITHMIX.com. Very simple, faithmix.com to hear more Govinda. And that's what you should do. Those of you who hear this podcast or this broadcast, go check it out and you will be blessed. I guarantee it. And we just keep on one day at a time, one moment at a time. And, and look, in this broadcast, we get the horrors in the first hour, we get this, then there's some more coming later. We just keep putting it out there. And, you know, hopefully God will lead us into giving you the whole perspective so that you're, on the one hand, equipped about the evil, because a lot of people are down, Govinda, about the evil around them. They're down in the dumps, and they're good brothers and sisters, but they're down in the dumps yeah. today. And they feel like, what's the use? And they feel like, oh, you know, everywhere I go, they hate me, or they close the door on my face, or they're just getting meaner and meaner, and I have a soft heart, and it's hard for me to stand up to it. It's hard for me to stand up to it when they're doing stuff to me. It's hard for me to stand up knowing what I know about the world and just trying to, sometimes I can't even get outside. I feel so bad. What do you have to say to that individual, to that person?
Well, one is that, first of all, anything that you go through, this is common to the people of God. You're not the first one to face these things. So, you know, take heart because you're on the right path. You're on the right road. You know, Zeph, I mean, part of my own path that God has taken me has been through some of the darkest things that have been going on in the world over the last maybe 7 years. I mean, you know some of the things that God has sent me in the middle of.
Yep.
And I mean, these are things that are, you know, on a natural level, you know, some of the worst of what's been happening in the world over the last, I mean, the last 7 years. And in the midst of those times, in some of the most challenging situations, if I allowed myself to get caught up into what the external was going on, it would have driven me insane. But because what God did in those times was he said, look, go within, trust me, call out to me in the middle of those situations, call out to me because I'm there. You know, what did he say in scriptures? Be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. I mean, he's given us the answer. He's already told it to us in the Word. People need to trust the Word, Zeph.
Yes.
They need to get back into the Word. They need to start reading that Bible again. You put it on your shelf too long. It's not, don't pull it down and read a verse. Get in there and read that thing because God will speak to you out of that. He will show you what you need to see. You need to start trusting the Word that he said. You need to stop looking at your personal circumstances and get on a kingdom page because this life is not about you. This life is not about, you know, you and your personal situation, you and your little life here and just trying to hold things together. No, you got to get off of that horse. You got to start riding the kingdom. The kingdom is calling. God is calling his people to start living the life that he's called them to be. And they are called to be right now in step with him. You know what? In the worst possible situations, wherever it has been in this world that God has sent me, he's always been there. I've always seen the light break forth in some of the darkest hours. I know the King that I serve. I know the Lord that I serve. I know that he is able to accomplish that which he's promised. He is able to fulfill his word. That which he said is what he will do. And the people that trust him, they live in the promises of God. You know, Zeph, the thing is that people's foundations are being tested. Their lives are being tested. What it is that they trusted in is being tested. And in the midst of that test, when people realize that they haven't necessarily set themselves aright, set themselves aligned, that's okay. Because what you do in those times is you bring that before God and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You know, actually, love Barbara Marcotti, by the way. You guys got to go check her out at Cornerstone Books. But Barbara, she sent me something the other day and it's just beautiful. You know, it's just a little card, but it says, Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. You know, I mean,
Amen.
It's just like, you know, hey, I just pray that. That's just the prayer. It's Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. You know, it's just like, just pray that and move on.
Okay,
you know,
here
just
comes,
leave it where it's at and move on.
And here comes 1 Peter. This is the scripture that jumped out at me when you were talking about the scriptures. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and one that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, you believe, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober in the hope that in the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, But as he which hath called you as holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy, and it goes on. I'm going to stop right there because it goes on and on, just a really great promises. But that's the scripture that jumped out. 1 Peter 1.
Amen. And you know, Zeph, we got to start, everybody, all of the people listening, you got to start talking to each other in the Word. Get that Word back out there. Stop thinking in your own opinions about what's going on and start speaking the Word and the truth of God in every one of these situations, because His Word is true. It has remained true throughout. When He spoke it, it is. And God gives His rhema for this day, what it is that they need. Give us this day our daily bread. God speaks and He gives His people the Word that they need for this day to carry them through, to strengthen them for the journey at hand. Right now, the thing is, the devil.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I just got to read what, you know, I can't leave it right there. Here we go. But seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit in unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see to it that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. And that's the end of the first chapter, and I think it's appropriate.
Amen.
I really do.
You know, Zeph, that's probably for some people, that's probably the first time, that's probably the first chapter they've gone through in a week, is right now. You know, I mean, people, I can see that. I can sense that there's people have gotten away from the Word. You know, and because they've gotten away from the Word, their spirits, their souls are struggling right now. You know, see, one thing that the enemy does is he works to starve people's souls. He works to starve their spirits, and he does that by bombarding their minds, bombarding their physical beings, mm-hmm. and keeping you away from the promises and the truth of God. So he works to keep you away from that which would strengthen you, and he tries to flood your life with that which will weaken you. And, you know, the people of God, we got to be wise to the methods of the enemy. You know, make some, we take decisions and choices each and every day about what it is that will be in our life and what it is that will be away from our lives. So, you know, right now is a time that God's people need to press in. You know, they need to press in, because what we are coming into right now is an amazing time for the people of God. For those that have prepared themselves for what is to come, God is going to use them in phenomenal ways, ways that you could never have imagined or put together in your life, in your own thinking. God is going to do that with you. But for the others that have been stuck in this middle ground, you know, God will be merciful to you, but you're missing that which God would desire to do with your life. So, I mean, you know, Zeph, people, God offers the best to those that will follow him. He really, really does. He offers abundant life to those that will follow him, but they got to trust him. They got to trust him. And, you know, those that have walked with him in this, we look back and we see and we know that he's been faithful. We can testify that he's been faithful. We look back at the things that he's brought us through. Zeph, I shouldn't still be here, but I am. And the reason I'm still here is because God has a plan and a purpose for my life, for the life that I would live in this with him. And I'm still here. So as long as I'm here, it's about his purposes. And when the time comes to check out, hey, you done bless me. It's a win-win situation.
To live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, so you can't lose. So I guess there's people out there gleaning from this conversation in a prophetic way. There's people out there that really, you know, need the gospel, but they need to be fed. Like you said, they're starved and they need to be fed. And the scriptures don't open up, you know, just to, you know, a carnal mind. They really open up via the Holy Spirit to a spiritual mind. And but at the same time, that doesn't mean stay away from the scriptures until you feel spiritual. Get in there so that you might be changed from carnal to spiritual, from worrying to feeling victorious. Right now, all of us that don't feel victorious or are worried about things, we need to shake that off right now in the name of Jesus. He is victory. We already have the victory. We have eternal life. We have the hope and the glory. God takes care of us. He's on our side. There is no reason to worry. There's no reason to be upset. There's no reason. We're just doing it because that's conditioning. The world's conditioned us to feel bad. They want us to feel bad and grovel and all that. But we don't have to. We have the victory above and beyond the world. We don't need them. We don't need them to prop us up. We don't need, it doesn't matter if they don't like us or if they like us or if they want to diss us. It doesn't really matter if they want to mock and laugh at us. It doesn't matter. We already have the victory that they don't have. So we got to rejoice in that, knowing that it's not true, these things that they're doing, that they're just like disobedient children who are acting up and saying things they don't understand to people that do understand. If we do understand, we shouldn't listen to them, and we shouldn't let any of that bother us, because our Lord's already accepted us. What more do you want?
Absolutely.
What more do you want?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you've already won. You've already won. You know, God's people have already won. We've already won the victory in Christ. We have to walk through this thing. We have to overcome. We have to go through. God wants us to go through, but you've already won. That is the thing that the enemy does not want you to live in. He wants God's people to live like they've been defeated. But the truth of the matter is that God's people have won. And every time when we go into a situation, we go in, when you're in Christ Jesus, you go in as a victor. You go in as somebody that's already has the victory over every situation. And that's why when the word comes back to you in those situations and the devil throws out a lie, you can come back with the truth. And you can say in whatever situation, here's what the word says about this. This is what God says about me. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Over whatever situation might come my way, hey, I can go back to that thing and can say, look, you know, here's what God said. I don't care what the world says about it. Here's what God said about this. And Zeph, you know what? The word is becoming a more, it's just, it is so alive and so true right now. I mean, it's always been, but for God's people, it's just resonating. And when they start to live in that and they start to live in these promises, you just watch as you live in those things, how God will come through. I mean, in the worst possible situation you could possibly find yourself in, you will find amazing victories. But it's for the people of God. It's for those that would actually follow him in this. It's not for the people that live halfway. If you live halfway, if you live on the fence, you die on the fence.
And it's also painful the whole time.
It's very painful. It's very painful. It's, you know, that's the thing, Zeph, is I think, too, there's a bunch of people that you've just been on the fence and you've been straddling it for so long, you don't know another way.
Mike,
that's the pain you're experiencing right now. You got to go all in, one way or the other.
All in. I agree, completely all in. We're all out of time. I just looked at the clock. It was a long, it was like 10, you know, 45. Now it's like I'm at the end. Faithmix.com. We're all out of time, folks. You can get more at faithmix.com. You can get more by going to your Bibles. We'll be doing a lot more word, because you got to have confidence to face a lot of these things. Govinda, I thank you so much for being here today and just giving us a word of encouragement. Let's close with a quick prayer. How about it, Govinda? Amen. Give us a prayer.
Amen. Father God, Lord, we just want to say thank you again, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for your truth, for your word that is alive, for your people, Lord God, that have been destined for this time, Father. Lord, I just pray your blessing upon their lives. Lord, we break every demonic stronghold and every curse of the enemy against their lives right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we release your truth, your life, your purpose, your plan, everything that you desire for your people right now, Lord God, opened up in their lives. Father, I just pray for peace for those that need it right now, and for rest and an assurance in you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much. And stay right there, Govinda. We're all out of time. Zeph Daniel here. This is WWCR, the last bastion of being able to say the truth. And we'll see you next week. Those of you who want to check out the podcast, ZephDaniel.com. And God bless you, one and all. We'll be right back.